Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Bit late coming in today, but we should say good evening to our RBN listeners. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. BJ Barden is my name, and we're here today live on the Saturday, 23rd day of November, 4 weeks from Christmas, right? Whoa, and sorry, 2.5 weeks from a general election. Can you believe that? As I said before, I'm repeating myself. We have now the prospect of politicians fighting for doorstep space with carol singers. Just think about that for a minute. That's the state of play here in the UK. And we are still drowning in rain and wet and flood. It is shocking. This country will float away. It's so bad. It really is very, very bad. But anyway, on and on it goes. We're getting a deluge of the election coverage on TV, etc., etc. But it does look like... that the Conservatives and Boris Johnson are so far ahead in the polls. He's about 18 points ahead, although it's dangerous to peak too soon. I've run a lot of election campaigns, I know that. But it looks like Johnson is going to win the election and by a reasonably good margin, and we could get this Brexit, rigging Brexit, phase one out of the way. The joke of it is Brexit is going to go on for years. The trade deal is something ongoing after we finally agreed to leave and official leave, but the trade deal goes on. But at least we won't have our ports blocked in Calais and Dover by the French, etc., etc. So that's only the basic. You could say that the French won the European Union won the blackmail round, etc., etc. But it's just shocking, and I see a thing here on the BBC, which are watching the other night. There they did a 2-hour party leaders, 4 parties spoke for half an hour each, and they were questioned by a random audience. That's a joke. Nobody can rig an audience like the BBC. But they're doing figures on the Daily Mail on the interruptions by the host, Fiona Bruce, who's a piece of work. And she interrupted the other three leaders 11, 14, and 17 times, but she interrupted Boris Johnson 45 times. And I don't know why he doesn't lay into the BBC over that, but he came out pretty well. And Corbyn has, the Labour Party have launched their manifesto, which is basically a communist manifesto. They're going to spend £90 billion, the biggest amount ever spent by any government, on this, that, the other. Free broadband, free this, free that, free the other. A four-day week. The last time we had a four-day week was 1973, 1974, when the miners' strike turned the lights off in Britain and we were forced onto a four-day week work week because there was no power or energy in the country. So they're going to give it free grass and for nothing, but it's absolute fantasy, and they're getting absolutely slammed. It's a communitarian, communist election manifesto, and I think the Labour Party are going to be slammed in this election, and I, a long time judging elections, I don't shoot my mouth off, but it looks like Boris Johnson will be in power for 5 years. At this rate, etc., etc. But another disgusting thing, I just caught the tail end of it. I sent a text to John Stoudemire. Next Friday night's Graham Norton Show, which is a massive program on TV here, and they carry it on BBC America as well. They're going to have special guest Hillary Clinton and her daughter, right? This is the BBC now taking part in the American general election and backing again, as they did before, Hillary Clinton, right? This despicable carry on by what is a New Age freak agenda, a communist agenda, BBC, New Age, political correctness, censored, edited BBC. It's a, as I said before, it's a rancid news organization, absolutely rancid in so many ways. But there's a piece there. Yeah, I think we'll have time to play it. Four video audio things to play today, around 10 minutes, but Ken has it there. I have a sum up on this debacle by a very clever guy, Neil Ferguson, although he's been hanging around with globalists for years. It's 11 minutes, 21 seconds, where he's describing Brexit, the possible EU collapse, and the Trump election, all in one in an 11-minute piece. It gets a bit academic at the end, but Ken has that piece there now, and we listen to Neil Ferguson, and he's talking to Vonnie Quinn of Bloomberg, okay? And let's see how he starts off now. In a second or two. Okay.
Another Brexit extension. I'm curious as to how you see this playing out, because it seems to be right now a tug of war between Brussels and Westminster, and one side pulls from the other and then the other side pulls from the one and nobody's happy.
It's easy to get drawn into the minutiae here. I think the key thing to remember is that Boris Johnson backed Brexit in 2016 for one reason only, and that was to become Prime Minister. He's achieved that objective. Everything else is collateral damage. In practice, Boris's challenge is just to stay as Prime Minister. How can he do that? It's very difficult because he doesn't have a majority in the House of Commons. And in the British system, if you don't have a majority in the House of Commons, you will lose votes. And especially you'll lose if you're trying to get the House of Commons to vote for a general election. But that's okay. Boris stays Prime Minister. He doesn't seem to have been as badly hurt as I thought he might be by not delivering on Halloween. I think he still has considerable momentum, so that when an election comes, he has some chance of winning a majority. So from Boris's point of view, this is the desired outcome. Everybody else is just left picking up pieces.
So that's personality-wise, but politically, where does Brexit leave Great Britain and Northern Ireland in the longer run?
Well, I'm glad you called it Great Britain and Northern Ireland, because the implication of Boris Johnson's deal is that Northern Ireland will have a different status from Great Britain. The United Kingdom will, in that sense, have a subtle division, assuming that this deal finally gets implemented. I think there are two things to watch here. One is, has Britain set itself on course for an ultimate reunification of Ireland? By creating this special status that leaves Northern Ireland de facto in the EU for trade purposes, has Britain unwittingly set Ireland on course for a slow process of reunification? If I were an Ulster Unionist, I would hate this deal. If I were in Sinn Féin, I would love it. Second point, Scotland. If you're going to treat Northern Ireland differently and leave it in effect in the EU for a time, the Scots might well say, as Nicola Sturgeon, the SNP leader, has said, well, what about us? We voted to stay. Scotland overwhelmingly backed Remain. And now I think the pressure for another referendum on Scottish independence is going to grow. And frankly, and I speak as a unionist very much opposed to Scottish independence, I worry that this time, if there were another referendum, Scotland would actually vote to leave the UK. So if Brexit ends up meaning the breakup of Britain, the law of unintended consequences will seldom have a better illustration.
Neil, you've been a scholar, among other things, of integration in a time of globalisation. Are we seeing disintegration now, and how quickly and easily will Britain be able to integrate itself into the global economy post-Brexit?
Well, one reason I was a Remainer was not out of great love for the European Union and Brussels. It was just the belief that the timing was wrong. Peak globalisation is in the rearview mirror. The world is moving rapidly in the direction of protection. I pointed out earlier today in my talk at the Robin Hood conference that US average tariff rates are back where they were in 1948. And the idea that Britain is going to leave the EU and then conclude free trade agreements with the United States and other countries in a very short space of time just seems to me implausible. I rather agree with Philip Hammond that this is to underestimate how difficult it will be. And so even if Boris's deal goes ahead, the costs when it finally comes into effect are going to be quite significant, and it will be a slow process to create any compensating free trade agreements with the rest of the world.
We are right bang in the middle of the 90th anniversary of the 1929 crash, so let's talk about financial crises. You have talked about another asymmetric crisis being on the cards for Europe, where the northern countries might be okay, but the southern won't. Germany is not as good. Germany is not as well positioned as it was last time around. When do you see another crisis coming, and what will it look like?
Well, things have changed a lot, partly because of Donald Trump's trade war, not just with China, but with the world generally. An economy like Germany's, which is heavily reliant on manufacturing exports, disproportionately is affected if the world moves away from free trade. And that's why the underperformer in Europe is now the core economy, Germany. And what goes around comes around. Greece is doing well because the populists are out of power, and they have in Kyriakos Mitsotakis a really quite good new prime minister. So a lot has changed in Europe. What hasn't changed is the fundamental mismatch between monetary union and lack of fiscal union. Very little has changed since the crisis. There has been only a minuscule step in the direction of banking union and none at all in the direction of fiscal union. And now Europe's leaders tell us they're going to achieve growth with a carbon-free strategy. I don't believe that that will generate growth. I think in practice, it will only add to the costs that already weigh down German industry. I mean, German industry already pays much more for energy than French industry. So I'm skeptical about the Green New Deal that Ursula von der Leyen is promising Europe. I suspect that it will contribute to low growth. And under those circumstances, with low growth, populists are going to continue to do well. Look at what just happened in the German state election in Thuringia. And ultimately, at some point, the Italian debt problem is going to come back. It's gone away for a bit, but I can assure you it will be back, as will the refugee problem. Because if relations with Turkey and the West get worse, the refugee problem could be back with a vengeance in a short time. So a lot of problems are waiting in the wings for Europe. And I remain of the view that the history books in the future will describe Brexit as a footnote in a bigger chapter on the disintegration of Europe. It will be a slow 10-year-long process, but I think it's already underway.
So you still believe that the monetary union will see countries peeling off?
I think the monetary union was a historic mistake. I think that that was predictable at the time. Some of us said a monetary union without fiscal union would be inherently unstable. It's not that people will leave the monetary union, because it's very hard to leave the monetary union. It's more that other parts of Europe will begin to fragment. And particularly on immigration, I think it would be impossible to have a common European policy. So the monetary union will live on as a kind of vestige of the dream of a federal Europe. But on all major policy issues, nation states will be making the decisions, and Brussels will get progressively weaker over time. There won't be a day when they wake up and declare the European Union dead. It will be like the Holy Roman Empire. It will fade away.
Let's talk about China. Obviously, we're in the middle of a trade war. There seems to be a phase one deal. At least the administration here in the US is touting that. May or may not get signed in Chile. How dangerous is this trade war in your view?
Well, it's dangerous in the sense that markets currently expect it to end. And this, I think, explains the currently relative strong state of US equities. There's a good deal of confidence that something meaningful is coming. But when you look at the small print, all that's really coming with phase one is a postponement of further tariff hikes. And as I said, the US has already gone back to its protectionist stance of 1948. And that has all kinds of implications for the global economy. Supply chains are going to start moving away from China the longer this lasts. And my sense is that the most likely scenario is that the trade war in its present form continues. The most that's going to be achieved is going to be a postponement of further tariff hikes. And there's still a possibility, knowing Donald Trump, that he hikes at some point between now and election day. It's as likely to me that tariffs go up as that they come down in the coming year. markets are way too optimistic. There's not going to be a major trade deal between the US and China as long as Robert Lighthizer is handling the negotiations on the US side and Xi Jinping is handling them indirectly through Liu He on the Chinese side. They're far too far apart on all the key issues. And my broad view is that the US-Chinese relationship is heading towards greater antagonism, not only over trade, but also over technology and geopolitics, to the extent that we've already entered Cold War II. It's just that the market hasn't noticed.
So which economy is better positioned to withstand something like that then? I mean, what if, for example, a wave of Chinese nationalism sees the Chinese only buying Chinese goods?
I think that's not a huge problem, frankly, for the United States. It might well be a bigger problem for China. I've always said that this is asymmetrical, that globalization is more important to China than it is to the US. Look, the Chinese have done a good job of offsetting the impact of the trade war on their economic growth, mostly through monetary policy, allowing the currency to weaken. But in the end, it's extremely difficult for Chinese policymakers to maintain a 6% growth rate for the next 10 years. The demographics are against them, and the leverage has really reached such a height that it's hard to imagine any more debt being used to keep growth going. So my sense is that the prolongation of the trade war is on balance worse news for China than is for the United States, but that Xi Jinping has taken the decision to play tough. Remember, he could have settled earlier this year, but they backed away from a deal at the very moment when it seemed to be about to be done. And I think that's because Xi Jinping thinks that, on the whole, Cold War II, while it might be economically painful, is politically quite good for him. It justifies his dominant position in Chinese politics.
Does this end up being the election issue that decides whether or not President Trump gets re-elected? And I know you've called this period a period of catharsis. So I'm curious, do we have another 4 years?
It's more likely than not that President Trump gets re-elected. It's really hard for me at this point to imagine any of the front runners beating him. The prediction markets like the look of Elizabeth Warren. I'm very doubtful that voters in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin will take her over Donald Trump if that's the choice. I don't think China's the number one issue, though. I mean, President Trump may try to make it the number one issue, but the Democrats can probably go head-to-head on China with him and be equally tough. After all, the Democrats historically have been rather tougher on China than Republicans. The number one issue is healthcare. The polls make it very clear, and especially in the swing states. And this is a problem for President Trump in that the Republicans don't have a good answer to the question, what did you do about healthcare? What was a problem for Democrats became a problem for Republicans when they failed to repeal and replace Obamacare. So for President Trump, it's very important between now and November of next year that the conversation be about foreign policy rather than domestic policy, and that his toughness, getting rid of al-Baghdadi, for example, is the thing that voters are thinking of when they go into the polling booth. That's why I think the China issue matters. It's not the number one issue for voters, but President Trump, with his undeniable mastery of social media, may make it the number one issue if he thinks it's electorally advantageous.
Okay. Yeah, that went on too long where Pearson went on about his favorite subject, China trade wars, but later on in the program we pay a very good clip of Tulsi Gabbard outlining her principles versus the people attacking her in the Democratic Party. And also Steve Turley's thing on the appalling, fictitious, illegal impeachment series, etc. And later on another one by David Icke on transgenderism. But anyway, something crossed my mind. Tulsi Gabbard, apart from some of her left-wing views, if Trump could get rid of Mike Pence and run bring Tulsi Gabbard in as vice president, that would be an unbelievable team. Stranger things have happened in politics, etc., etc. But he's talking there about the EU will fade away. I believe it will, but it'll break off in actual civil wars as well. It's shocking the way the Latino countries, Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Greece, are suffering from being in the cursed euro. It's too strong a currency for them, etc., etc. And he didn't get on to the other big flashpoint in the world, which is the Arctic oil. The Russians are building their depots, and they have the best icebreakers in the world and the best drilling equipment from the Arctic, and the Chinese are backing them. So the fight over Arctic oil, that will be a big big one in 2020. There's no doubt about it. But I think most people's thing is to keep warm and keep enough food. Anyway, we'll go to this first break today, and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Okay, very good. That's the end of the music there. We're back again. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. BJ Bard is my name, and as I was just saying to Ken, we're here in wet, soggy. I'm saying it every week, but my God, we've had nearly 3 months of rain here. We are at some wet, damp, and it's a sad thing. It's going to wipe out an awful lot of elderly people. The dampness level, like 93% moisture in the air at plus 2-3. It'd be better if it was minus 4 or 5. That to kind of dry things up a bit, you know. But it's the worst of all the worlds that we have here, etc. But I was born and raised in this kind of climate, so I'm used to it. But now, listening to Neil Ferguson there, he's a bit of an academic. He's a historian and an economist, but I just wanted to have his words there. He analyzed things very deeply, and I agree with him on Brexit. has to be, and the EU Union will die away. But of course, if they get their army in place, they'll have what they call the rapid reaction force to attack us. He's not venturing into that area. Of course, he wants to be invited to all these forums. As good as he is, he wants to be invited to all the forums and gets paid big fees for speaking, of course. But as I say, the truth will set you free, but the truth will hit you with the libel laws, you know. That's what I find as I write stuff, etc., etc. But on and on that goes. And I already mentioned this disgraceful carry-on of the BBC, where they're going to have her on the Graham Norton show next week. Now, that is the prize top BBC show about, it's mostly showbiz people, but key people visiting London. This is disgraceful. The crap agenda of the BBC, new age, lefty, left-wing communist agenda all the way through. And to bring this vile, disgusting criminal on a primetime program at this stage, well, it's Trump's fault for not going after her, and I don't believe he will ever, because she is enmeshed in the deep state. And so cleaning the swamp, forget it. We have seen no evidence, despite even Mike Adams making a big prediction, and Dave Hodges, that a big things were about to happen. Haven't seen it, including sending the military completely down to seal the border. We haven't seen that yet, but lots of signs, but we just haven't seen it yet. But I'm extremely skeptical about Trump. But later on, when we come to a suitable article, we'll play a very good piece from Tulsi Gabbard. The more I see of her, the more I think she's outstanding, but she's surrounded by absolute piranha fish, and they will destroy her. But the Republican Party should make superhuman efforts to bring in or to get her to stand as a Republican. It was the only place her principles would allow her to stand. Not that the Republican Party or anything. They're gutless, and they're gutless around Trump, too. Like, complete silence from Republicans. Complete silence. I hardly ever hear anybody. The only person you could say is speaking for the Republicans is Tucker Carlson, and in a poisonous media. And I know, as everybody says, I wonder how long more Tucker Carlson can survive on Fox News, considering how, again, poisonous it's become, and that other two-faced piece of work, Hannity, pretending he's a Trump supporter. He's a vile pimp mercenary. He really is one of the worst. But the other thing to do with, and I was talking to Ken there about this, in the north of England, you have these test towns going on. The people in them don't seem to realize that they've cut down 800 trees in Reading, 800, and Chris Packham, who, well, thank God he's speaking up, he's a good quality top. The wildlife division of the BBC is untainted by political correctness so far. Whereas Chris Packham, he does spring watch and winter watch and summer watch with a group of people where they go into a wildlife reserve and you do live nightly programs. But he now is speaking up and highlighting this thing where these trees are being cut down for 5G. And Ken was just telling me there that Mark Steele of 5G, the 5G awareness thing, and the site he has is up on my computer here, saveusnow.com. If you go on to Save Us Now, it's a very fast read, five-page piece of what the military weapon that 5G is. It is a weapon. It has absolutely frig all to do with communications. It can be used, but it's a military weapon to destroy people. And if it's already been installed in America and in Britain. And again, because of this cursed Brexit has gone on for so long, that is masking all these situations which need to be dealt with. And it's part of the curse that we live in currently. And it's one of the most provoking things. So just as well, we're having this awkward election before Christmas. But the way I'm involved in analyzing it intensely and watching the polls and the irrelevant polls and the lies and all that, but it looks like Boris Johnson will win. I know he's, as Neil Harris said there, the reason he backed Brexit was become Prime Minister. He is an absolute mercenary, Johnson. Absolute shyster. But if he gets this Brexit through, fine, then we'd no further use for him in 5 years' time. Thank you. They're disposable items. As Jeremy Paxman said to the Oxford Union when he was asked, he was the chief interrogator on the BBC on Newsnight for many, many years. And they said, how would he describe his attitude to politicians? And he said, about the same as a dog's is to a lamppost. And that's about right. Any more than that, you're getting carried away. But anyway, we go to the bottom of the hour break, and then we continue on after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Coming back in from the bottom of the hour break, this is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting, and just of the many, many things I can go into related to all of this. This is an article by news editors of Natural News, and they're saying America is flying blind into a potentially disastrous health catastrophe. 5G revolution could bring 5G apocalypse. Yes, it will. And Ken is just reminding me there that colleague of mine, a very good guy, well, I got to know him recently only, Mark Steele, who was part of AV10, who is the definitive expert on 5G, was on the Alex Jones show this week, it would appear. I must take that out. And if you put it into YouTube, just 5G Mark Steele, a whole clatter of videos will come up, some of them 5 minutes, some of them, etc. But the opening thing he gives is 5G is a military weapon. It's a battlefield weapon. That's what it is. And these morons of politicians haven't got a bull's notion. And one of them in Britain here, Plaid Cymru, the Welsh-speaking Welsh party, independent party, they want to fast-track 5G. And they haven't a bull's notion of what it is. Not a clue. And again, as I say, this cursed Brexit thing is what's blocking the road here in the UK currently. But This 5G article goes on to say, whilst globalists happily push 5G into America and now on a fast track with words like 5G revolution being tossed around, the website Scientific America recently put out the story within which they warned, "We have no reason to believe 5G is safe." Well, at least Scientific America, we can trust them maybe. But as this story, Steve Quayle linked to Sunday over the mind unleashed reports of the Scientific American story, of particular significance is the fact that SCIAM, SCIAM is the oldest continuously published monthly magazine in the United States. SCIAM, okay. Founded by inventor and publisher Rufus M. Porter in 1845 and running monthly since 1921, it is highly influential publication. Well, one, I hope that hasn't been hijacked. Widely reputed for its rigorous scientific standards and lauded by today's fact-checking and highly credible, staunchly pro-science people. Okay, I'll just double-check that. I'll clip the page over it. Is the fact that, and it's saying it here, yeah, SCIAM. I must write that down and highlight that for other references and notes on my pile of information and file stuff. But he goes on to say, with the Scientific American story reporting that the technology is coming, but contrary to what some people say, there could be a health risk, could be a devastating wipeout. Their story confirmed much of what the independent media has been reporting for the past couple of years about 5G, that America is flying blind into potentially disastrous health mess with potential damages to human beings, including millimeter waves are mostly absorbed within a few millimeters of human skin and in the surface layers of the cornea. Short-term exposure can have adverse psychological effects on the peripheral nervous system, the immune system, the cardiovascular system, etc. The research suggests that long-term exposure may pose health risks to the skin, right into the brain. Example, melanoma, the eyes will all be blind as well. Ocular melanoma and these tests, etc. And as we've reported numerous times previously on ANP, with 5G technology using the same millimeter wave as the Pentagon's crowd control active denial system. The Pentagon's crowd control active denial system. So that's sweet. To put down uprisings. We're not surprised that one so-called conspiracy theorist in the UK recently took apart a 5G streetlight that was sent to him by a whistleblower and found technology equivalent of a weapons system. Well, I don't know why they call this... Dr. Martin Paul, okay. I don't know why they refer to this person as a conspiracy theorist. That's in bracket meaning that's what the mainstream media would call him. Since we know that not everyone is going to take the word of conspiracy theorists about the dangers of 5G, before we go any further, let's take a look at a recent warning given by one medical doctor, Dr. Martin Paul, PALL, in this story titled 5G and the Wireless Revolution, When Progress Becomes a Death Sentence, which much more below, including how we can go about protecting ourselves from 5G, and other words, well, it's not protecting us by us. We have to stop it, STOP, stop it right now. Wireless radiation has also heard in the final video at the bottom of the story. Okay, without any 4G, without putting any radar units in cars, all of these things are being planned for us. I believe we'll be going. Our reputations will crash essentially to zero within probably 2 to 3 years. 5G, it could be months. Well, this is a bit fragmented extract or something. The regulatory agencies around the world have been corrupted by the industry and are serving the goals of the industry and are not serving the goals of the people that they're supposed to be protected. We know that. They're using standards of 1 and 2G from 15 years ago. You can hear, as regards safety standards, you can hear directly from Dr. Paul in the third video, etc., etc. Well, he's well advanced in his videos on the internet, on YouTube. While the FCC continues over and over again to say that 5G is safe, the extended excerpt below, which comes to us from a story over at Global Research, Title 5G Dangers, 13 Reasons 5G will Be a Catastrophe for Humanity. Okay. But the key thing in this story just read out there is they name that publication, I'll just go back again, SkyAm. Well, let's see, I've got the name correct, I hope I have. That SkyAm, okay. That's a new one on me, but I looked that up. SkyAm is technical publication monthly, and that is probably, they say they're publishing only the one publication that's publishing the truth about 5G. Okay. And another relative story to that is it's an unusual thing from Indonesia. Kids given baby chicks and chili seeds to reduce the screen use and addiction in Indonesia. And Anne Frank is writing this saying, Silicon Valley parents must have suspected all along that excessive screen use and exposure aren't good for kids. For many years now, they have been sending their own kids to expensive low-tech, no-tech schools and limiting their use of tech and their homes. This is the Silicon Valley people pushing it on us. Wonderful. Despite increasing issues and warnings associated with kids and screens, companies still have still make the market tech to kids and their schools. Still make the market and tech to kids at their schools. Number five, unfortunately, treatment programs and counseling aren't available or affordable to all families. In Indonesia, they are trying more organic approach. Just clicking the screen, okay. And he's quoting from CNN, or who wants to quote from them? Another one, the city of Bandung in West Java has launched a pilot program to get students away from the screens by giving them baby chickens and chili seeds in the hopes that the children will spend less time on electronic devices and more time caring for their pets and plants. Sure. And the Bandung government, as part of Indonesia, said that 2,000 chicks and 1,500 chili seeds are being provided to 10 elementary schools and 2 junior schools in the city, which is almost 150 kilometers southeast of the capital. And it goes on to say, why, okay. But there's a report of, one other item here, what's reporting. The average Indonesian internet user spends 8 hours, 36 minutes per day online, almost 2 hours higher than the global average, according to Global Digest Report 2019. Okay. But anyway, at least they're trying to protect children in Indonesia. And I'll put that other one aside. But another one, who else? Google. Google admits that others, in brackets, others, can access the camera on Samsung and Android smartphones. What's new? And Alana Kettler writes this article. She's saying here, the facts, hackers have successfully been able to assess the front-facing camera on Google and Samsung phones without permission from their user, regardless of whether or not the phone was unlocked. They were able to take pictures and record video. Reflect on why should you care? This is the outright invasion of our right to privacy. If we continue to willingly give up all our rights, soon we won't have any left. Well, there's very few left in the United States, anywhere. As handy as they are, our smartphones are literally portable tracking devices. That says that we played that 37-minute piece about a month ago from John McAfee, and he's saying it's designed and built and perfected to be a spying device. Right? Equipped with GPS technology, people can easily be located, and for most Android users, a record of where they've been each day since they've had their fancy phones stored online. If that's not creepy enough, the microphones on our phones are also able to record our conversations because they're listening to everyone that we don't think they are. Well, I've told that to hundreds of people. There's an open mic intercept on all phones. Now, people who work for the NHS and for the government and key departments, they're already, it's automatic, it's computer listening and transcribing. You ring the DVLA in the UK about your car and car tax, about that, they admit it openly, that phone call is recorded and automatically transcribed by computers. So you better tell them the truth about problems with your car, why it's not taxed and all the rest of it, or why you're going to scrap it. I need the right documents because they've recorded the previous calls and transcribed them. So the guy talking to you is calling that up and listening to what you said before. So the thing is to record them. And there's one very good one on the system now. Where I just put my hand on it here. The Blackberries, some of the attachments to it are absolutely crap. But there is one on this called Parrot, P-A-R-R-O-T, commercial one, a recording system for your phone, P-A-R-R-O-T, Parrot. And it's one of the best three. You get a very sophisticated thing for $5 a month. But Parrot is one of the best recording things. When you're talking to the likes of the public utility, Pacific Gas and Electric, which reminds me of sending a text to inquiring last night how Deborah Tavares was, and she's battling and toughing it out with her husband in Sonoma County in Northern California. They're under fire alert and have fires, and they're being sprayed, and he said it's hard to breathe. But I don't know why she's going heroic, going to tough it out down there, and I don't know, but she's okay as of the minute, okay? And this article goes on to say about Google emitting these things. As handy as they are, our smartphones are literally portable tracking devices equipped with GPS technology. People can easily be located. And for most Android users, a record of where they've been each day, etc., etc. Recently, researchers have revealed that this camera can be used to spy on users. Who would have thought? Well, I mean, knew that 10 years ago, as I did. The secrecy research team from Checkmarks, Checkmarx, has uncovered a major vulnerability that is affecting Google and Samsung smartphones and has a potential to impact the hundreds of millions of Android users across the globe. Apparently, it's now fixed, but the researchers discovered a way for the hacker to take control of the front-facing camera and remotely take photos, record videos, listen to your conversations, and more, all happening silently in the background without your awareness. And although it's important to note that the following is merely speculation, if hackers have the ability to do this, then you better believe that the NSA and the other high-level government agencies are able to do the same thing. Well, I've been telling people in the NHS have told me that. And if you're involved in a dispute within the NHS, you're automatically monitored, your emails, your phone, the lot, etc., etc. And what's the £5 billion fund put aside by the NHS for medical malpractice suits that they know they're going to lose? That's just one of the details here. But this isn't something new. Edward Snowden, NSA whistleblower, and many others like him have talked about and have explained how our phones are actually used to spy on us. Okay, we're talking about the bleeding obvious there. And they said the research began on Google's camera app on the Pixel 2 XL and Pixel 13 smartphones. They found new vulnerabilities, which were limits initiated by allowing an attacker to remotely bypass user permissions, apparently facial recognition, fingerprint, and passwords, the whole lot. Okay, so the hackers ring get into your phone quite easily. That's it. You are surrounded. We are surrounded and being attacked on every level. Absolutely. And a small note here about New Zealand. Of course, they're under the gun of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. And they don't realize that 90% of they're asleep in New Zealand and Australia. This one here, the story says, after banning citizens from owning firearms, New Zealand Parliament passes an euthanasia law to allow socialized medicine suicides for all citizens. Right? Anybody can request people go to Switzerland to do assisted suicide. Yeah? But the story just goes on to say, one in a 69-51 vote, New Zealand Parliament has voted to pass the so-called End of Life Choice Bill, which would legalize both euthanasia and assisted suicide for people over the 18 who suffer from terminal illness that have the potential to end their lives in 6 months. The controversial legislation recently passed its third and final reading in the New Zealand House, and will have to be voted on by referendum in New Zealand's upcoming 2020 election. These clowns are probably going to vote for this. In other words, the general New Zealand public will be the ultimate deciding factor as to whether or not the End of Life Choice Bill becomes law. Under normal circumstances, when a bill passes a third reading of the Queen's by the Queen's representative, the Governor General would sign it into law through a process known as the Royal Assent, you know, like the UK here. But an amendment was added to the End of Life Choice Bill requiring it to go for a final referendum vote, which is the next step, etc. Okay. According to reports, nearly 3 in 4 New Zealanders think the end of life choice is about giving people the opportunity to simply turn off a life support machine for the terminally ill. Some 70% think that the refusal to be resuscitated will also be legalised. 62% of voters believe that the bill will allow for sick people to simply receive the amount of medicine they require in order to be pain-free. No, it's called the care pathway here in the UK. They've been practicing that for years here. They turn down your food, your water, your drugs, and they just let you go. 75% also think that euthanasia or assisted suicide will only be legal when all other treatments to control pain have been tried and failed, etc. Well, again, it won't be your decision. Okay, we go to this third break of the first hour, and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
Let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Steve Turley's thing the next hour. Okay. Right, we come back in really quickly. And just talking there again about different things. The if it's not vaccinations, 5G, or weather, or that, is there anything we're not being attacked by? I can't but say that. I know I see this again and again and again. It's attack, attack, attack on every level of life. But it's a war. It's part of a overall. It's all connected. It's a warfare on us. And the weather modification now, it's hard to know how much of that is part of that. The thing in California, the wildfires, this, what's it called? The two guys that broadcast with Dave Hodges, Martin and the two guys, I think the name's down in a minute. The Cal Exit counties and the New California movement, it's I think it's the New California movement counties that are being bombarded with wildfires. Isn't that unique? Yeah? I'll go and check that in one of the breaks today. It's political warfare carried out by PG Pacific Gas and Electric. And one of the things that Deborah texted me last night was that she has finally got all the documents she wanted about what is the total final plan. It's almost like the Hitler final solution plan to attack people in California, and to she reckons she has the documents she wants now, and it might be the new year now, but I can't bother her to go on the program when she's under such pressure, but she will give us an exclusive on that. But it's fiendishly evil what they're planning for everybody. As I said, she said we're all for the chop and etc., but the chances of this getting into the mainstream media is remote, absolutely remote. And the next story to later on in the second hour, it's already on the RBN website. Breaking: British pro-life activist mum of five denied entry to the US after months of online persecution. Like, who's in charge in America? Is it meant to be Trump and his administration to block a woman like that who's pro-life? Again, the deep state have control of just about everything. It is shocking, shocking, shocking. And this story was carried on LifeSite News. I won't start it now because we've run out of time on the thing, but I'll do it at the beginning of the next hour. There used to be something like 10 or 15, 20 categories of visa to go to the United States. There's now something like over 100. You have to describe exactly why you're going to the United States, where you're going to be, etc., etc. I haven't been there since 92, and I would not go back there. But it is unbelievable what you have to go through to get a visa to the United States. Now, you can get an ongoing one for the category for a number of years. But it is shocking, the monitoring of people, and the this thing of the buffer zone, 100 miles from the coast and borders of the United States. You're not under the U.S. Constitution. I mean, why aren't people on the streets on that one alone? You're under NHA, or what do you call it? Homeland Security, which is one step away from a FEMA camp. But they were going over that the other day in a program on RBN. It's just shocking what's been meted out to people. We're living under multi-layered criminal syndicates on every level of life. If you were stayed in bed all day, you'd have broken 100 laws probably. That's the way it is. It's like somebody said years ago, there used to be a joke about the bylaws of a public park. There's about 150, 60 little bylaws, and you're meant to be aware of them, or you know, just if you act normally, you wouldn't be breaking any of them. But it's coming to the stage now where you have to memorize the bylaws of walking in a public park. I was telling a friend of mine, a cousin of mine, who has very fantastic quality dog spaniels, and he's just a professional runner as well as being a doctor, but I was saying to him it's very dangerous to bring dogs into a public park, especially in America, because of the glyphosate sprayed along the edges of the pathways. You kill weeds. Very dangerous, and dogs are dying of. Okay, we've come to the top of the hour, and we'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes.
Homeowners are Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has... It may be defective, and you may be paying the...
You're listening to Rep-